I'm Dr. Joanna Paul of the Open University, and in this podcast I'll be talking to my colleague, Dr. Paula James, about Latin poets and the role they played in Roman society. Paula, I wonder if I could start by asking you a little bit about the general role and status that poets had in Roman society. Is this the kind of thing that lots of people would aspire to be doing? What kind of status did they hold?
I think it's quite interesting to make a distinction about writing poetry and being a poet, if I can say that, because the well-educated did write poetry, but they wrote it in their spare time. I mean, through the years of the Republic and into the empire or the imperial period when you have emperors. And what's quite interesting is that's their leisure time away from public service, military service abroad. Maybe they're part of the civil service, going to the Senate, all those kinds of things. When they can get away, particularly to their rural retreats, they then feel it's their pleasure to write poetry. But in the late Republic, we have a new move. Cicero, the orator, calls them the novi poetae, the new poets, who actually wanted to write poetry pretty much full time and become professional. And that was quite an un-Roman thing to do. So if you look at Catullus and his circle of friends, people like Calvus and Cinna, although we don't really have much of what they wrote left, sadly, with Catullus we do have a great deal of his poetry, and he really wanted to be a poet, although he came to Rome and he was in the thick of political life. So we always have to make that kind of assumption that he's still in politics in some ways, but he's not following a political career as such.
Right, so with Catullus, do you think he was making quite a bold statement about rejecting that conventional career path, if you like, of the Roman? And how do you think his contemporaries would have viewed his decision to write poetry as his full-time activity?
Well, I mentioned Cicero, and I'm not sure Cicero would have approved entirely of this, because Cicero was very hands-on, very much politically involved, and consul at Rome. Although, of course, Cicero, too, wrote poetry in his spare time. We're not sure how good it was, but he certainly did pen quite a few verses. So I suppose with Catullus, he was making a statement about his right. He's a man of independent means. So in a sense, he doesn't need patronage financially. But I suppose in terms of getting his poetry out there, organising recitals of it, having it performed in some way, performing it himself, he did need influential people. And he became involved in Clodia, one of Clodius's sisters. She was running a kind of a little coterie, a literary circle, and he could certainly go and air his poetry there. And we know he's famous. In fact, the Catullus that people know, if they know Catullus at all, is the one who wrote a succession of heartfelt love poems about his relationship with one of the sisters. We don't know which one, but he calls her Lesbia. And it was a rocky road. He was not happy. I suppose the reason those poems speak to us across the centuries is because they are full of his anguish. You know, Lesbia did not treat him right. And also, they're kind of therapy. I mean, there's the very famous few lines, "Oh, de l'amour, I hate and I love. Perhaps you ask why I do this." And he ends up saying, "I feel it, it sentio et excrucior, and I am tortured by this love affair." Because he moved on to other lovers subsequently. So he's very well known for these love poems. And again, that's not very Roman, is it? And I'm sure people thought, why is Catullus spending his time expressing his angst to us?
Yes.
But it certainly has gone through to posterity. And yet, I suppose we have to say that he also wrote a lot of scurrilous verses about Caesar. Julius Caesar evidently forgave him. He was friendly with Catullus's father.